Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com worldwide, and I am delighted to welcome Martin Galvin. He is the Ancient Order of Hibernians, Freedom for All Ireland Committee, a highly respected and prominent criminal defense attorney here in New York. He's the president of Bronx Ancient Order of Hibernians Division 5, and also, of course, chairman, New York State, Freedom for All Ireland. The range titles, I think we should cut it off there, Michael, because I think that most people would know of you. Saw somewhere recently you're one of the top five best-known Irish-American names across the United States, so there you go, you know.
I didn't see that, Adrian. I'm always glad to be with you, and you're always much better informed than I am. So I'll have to, as soon as we finish the program, I'm going to look out for that and find out. Did they say prominent or most vilified or something like that? I don't know. But no,
as a matter of fact, you know, best known. Well, that could be. As a matter of fact, they should have added to that best known on both sides of the Atlantic, because that would take back, if we go back some 40 years or so, being a political activist for the cause for Ireland. That'd be good. We can pick that up. But I think that a lot of people, and indeed I'm curious myself, to know, born in the Bronx of Irish papers, but the last of Irish parents. But, you know, the last time you were in Ireland, it would appear to me that you had relatives all over the place, north and south. Tell us about, you know, your roots.
Well, Adrian, my grandparents actually were from County Offaly, and they settled in Brooklyn, and that's where I was born, and my family moved to Queens, and ultimately, I went to Fordham University, and I got so attached to the borough that I've lived here ever since. So that's my roots in the Bronx, and my family is from Bran, which is near Tullamore. It's about 6 miles above Tullamore in County Offaly.
Yeah.
Ancient churches there, it goes way back, but it's one of those areas very hard hit by immigration.
Yes.
So that's my Irish roots.
Now, Martin, I do want to, you know, before we get into, you know, a couple of other important items, I just want to, primarily so we don't forget it, talk about your dinner coming up. Actually, it's 2 weeks from tomorrow, November 20th. It's your Ancient Order of Hibernians Bronx County Board annual dinner dance, which has been very, very successful indeed over the last couple of years.
Adrian, we're very successful because our honorees are always top-notch. We've been very fortunate with our honorees, and this year is no exception. The event, as you say, is Sunday, November 20th at Rory Dolan's in the Bronx, 890 McLean Avenue. It's an afternoon event from 3 p.m. to 7. Tickets are $90, but we have great honorees. Senator Chuck Schumer is going to be with us and be honored. Former Congressman Peter King and the Hibernians, one of the things that gives us our strength is that we reach out, if you're with the left of the political spectrum or the right of the political spectrum, if you're for Ireland, if you fight for us, and you're with us on Ireland, we welcome your support, and we're with you. And those two, Senator Schumer and Congressman Peter King, are examples of that. Our national vice president, Sean Pender, who's a key figure in the Organization for Freedom for Ireland, he's being honored. Our pastor at St. Barnabas, Father Brendan Fitzgerald, he's now not only a division chaplain, but a state chaplain. He is the person who leads the Irish community in St. Barnabas, including our annual Gaelic Mass, which goes all over the world via YouTube and the Internet. And finally, Patricia McGahey. Now, she formerly was with Irish Northern Aid, but she's going to be representing the American Wives of Irish Political Deportees. And what happened was, 25 years ago, led by the wives of a number of people who were under deportation proceedings, they had lived here, they settled here, they had American citizen wives and children, and all of a sudden the British tried, prevailed on our government to bring deportation proceedings to label them as criminals. And inspired by the wives of people like Paul O'Dwyer and Frank Birkin and the Ancient Order of Iberians and Irish Northern Aid and so many others, 25 years ago, the Clinton administration gave them a victory and gave them, halted the deportation, gave them a deferred immigration status. Now, everything that was promised hasn't come true. We're still hoping the door will one day open for people like Patsy Donnelly, or could be opened again for Malachy McAllister, and finally get all of the things that the deportees were promised. But this is a tremendous victory with great people involved, and we're celebrating that also.
Now, it is, you know, the you're announcing the spirit of 1916 honorees, and again, aptly named, considering that a lot has happened since, of course, in the last 100 years. But the it seems, Martin, without going over a century of progress or lack thereof, that the situation in Northern Ireland today is as bad as it was before, you know, the new Prime Minister was installed. Because there was an election due to be announced, you know, again, last week, and there's more kerfuffling going on with that. Can you bring us to that?
Adrian, as you say, what happened is the spirit of 1916 awards, it's actually from a song about Long Cash, that the spirit of 1916 will always see them through. And that spirit, we still want to reflect that in the dinner, in the event. Certainly, as long as you have British rule, one of the things that I think America was way ahead on, we have banners that say England out of Ireland. And what that has always meant is that as long as the political decisions for any part of Ireland, the north of Ireland now, are made in England by people at Westminster, by people who don't care about Irish interests, Sunak is just interested in staying as the prime minister in England to benefit the people there, primarily in England, and particularly the rich people in England, and couldn't care less about the north of Ireland. I think he was there once in his life just for a campaign event. That's how little he cares about the issue. And some people have been appointed to be British secretaries for the north who had never visited Ireland before. Yeah. That's how much they care, and that's how much they know. What happened is, an election was held a number of months ago, and there's a couple of questions. First of all, the Democratic Unionist Party says it doesn't want to go into Parliament, into Stormont, because of the fact that the protocol agreement, this is an agreement made between the European Union and Britain about trading that would allow there not to be a hard border across Ireland, between separating the six counties and the 26 counties. If anybody's ever been to Ireland, you try to put a hard border between Derry and Donegal or Dundalk and Armagh, all of that, it'd be ridiculous. If you drive from Dundalk to Derry and you take the Monaghan, the road that goes through Monaghan, you don't know which side of the border you're on. You cross it about four or five times, you can't even tell. There's no way. So there had to be a special agreement. A trade agreement was made. The British reached this agreement. I believe it's 599 pages altogether with the European Union. And as soon as they finished it, they said, now we have to break it because the unionists are not happy with it. They're not happy with the protocol. So the Democratic Unionist Party will not go into Parliament, into Stormont, will not share power. They say that England at Westminster should make the decisions for them, for the six counties. And when they make them, they say, well, now we don't like it. And now, again, as Britain always tends to say, well, if the unionists don't like it, we have to do something different. We have to break our agreement. And most people feel it's simply because they don't want to go into a storm in Parliament where a representative from Sinn Féin is First Minister and Jeffrey Donaldson is a deputy. As one of the opponents, Jim Allister, says, they don't want to be the bridesmaid to Sinn Féin. That's the real reason it's an excuse. But the British government made a decision. You have the Good Friday Agreement. The DUP is supposed to share power. And as soon as it doesn't like its way, get its way on trade or on who's the first minister, they feel they can just walk it out. And the British government will always back them up and use that veto. And that's what it's about. You had an election a number of months back. They haven't abided by it. They haven't taken their seats. It's a disastrous situation in the North right now because of the wreck that the British economy is becoming because of Brexit and because of Tory policies designed to serve the rich. And still, those representatives won't go into Stormont, won't share power where they're not top dog. It's somebody from Sinn Féin where nationalists are in the first deputy seat. And that's what this is really all about. People have tried to get them to come back and form the government, and so far there's no sign of them doing so.
Martin Galvin, what is your take on now with the new Secretary of State for Northern Ireland? Again, granted that, you know, he couldn't, if he hitchhiked his trip around Northern Ireland, that would be fine. But anyway, putting that aside, isn't there still a commitment with a date now passed where if Stormont was not up and running, you know, before that the date, which was last week or the week before, that an election would be called? End of story.
Exactly right, Adrian. That was end of story. And the new British, the British secretary, he was continued on from Liz Truss's regime, insisted over and over again that the law said they had to call an election, that he was going to call an election. And they were even talking about the date of December 15th of having the election then, repeated it over and over again, trying to put pressure on everybody. And as soon as the date came when he was supposed to call the election, he did a U-turn, done nothing. He's had meetings with the Irish government, with all of the political parties, and they all come out and said, we're no wiser. He won't give us a date for an election. So he's already lost any credibility that he might have. You can't tell people, I'm going to call an election. If you don't make a decision by a particular date, then you don't call one. No one knows what he's going to do, least of all him. I think he's got to go back to Rishi Sunak, the new prime minister. The Irish government's pushing for some kind of move, pressure on the DUP to go into Stormont for some kind of rules change that would fix it so that they couldn't simply walk out every time they don't get their say. But again, years ago when I got involved in Irish politics, Sinn Féin used to say, and Republicans used to say, the British rule in the North, the British rule at Stormont is irreformable. You couldn't fix it. It's broken because of the way it's set up to serve British interests. And I think by Sinn Féin with the Good Friday Agreement and going into Stormont, they've proven that point.
To add insult to injury, you have Jeffrey, excuse me, you have Jeffrey Donaldson, who again was calling for and, you know, was going to welcome another election. However, even before such an election, let's just assume that December 15th. Can be agreed upon. Jeffrey Donaldson has said that regardless of that, unless the protocol issue is sorted, you know, to their liking, that there still won't be an assembly in Northern Ireland. There's still will stay on the outside. So where is this going?
Adrian, there's more than 400 million people, I believe, in the European Union. They make an agreement with the British government, and a majority of people in the six counties voted against Brexit. They didn't want it. That didn't matter. It seems that the unionists just say, unless we get our way, all of those 400 million people, there could be an agreement between them and the British government. That doesn't count. We want to get our way. Again, there's a strong suspicion and feeling that Jeffrey Donaldson won't go into Stormont because he's not going to go in as a deputy to a Sinn Féin minister. And that's always been the way in the north of Ireland, unless the unionists get their way on everything, courtesy of the British, they're not going to work the system, they're not going to cooperate. And it's the same thing is true if you look at the British government's position right now on the legacy commitment. There are hundreds of cases of people who have never gotten legacy justice. And what the British did when Ballymurphy inquest came down, and it was proven, not just that what the people said about those 10 people being, including a Catholic priest and a grandmother, being murdered by British troops without excuse or justification, and all the excuses that the British gave were lies. The British simply want to do away with all that now. They want to take away inquests. They want to take away civil actions. They want to take away ombudsman reports. They want to take away the Stormont House agreement that they made with the Irish government. And that's why there's so much pressure. Go to the European courts and force them to do what they're supposed to do under the European Convention. It seems that when the British don't get their way, or the unionists don't get their way, no agreement matters, no parliament matters, the Good Friday Agreement doesn't matter, trade agreements don't matter, the Stormont House Agreement doesn't matter. Agreements are made to be broken if they don't suit British or the DUP. And that, again, is a tragic part about the situation, why one of the reasons why the situation has been so tragic for so many years.
Martin Galvin, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, I'm sure most listeners will know that it is the largest and most influential Irish-American organization. And so they, you know, I'm sure you're smack in the middle of it. They are saying, okay, the waiting game is over. We have already, you know, sent letters to, and, you know, the president, Danny O'Connell, and several others have put forth, you know, bills in Congress. Have written to, you know, just about anybody with influence and said, we want, you know, we want, of course, we want the protocol issue addressed, but we want the whole job lot addressed. And they are speaking for a great number of people, particularly in the present administration with Joe Biden and a, you know, very strong, senator in Chuck Schumer, your honoree, and many others. So, okay, so that request was sent, but now there is a revival of that, what really... This time it's, would you ever please do something? Now it's saying, just do it.
Right. What we're doing right now, Adrian, we've actually been working on the Ancient Order of Hibernians, Danny O'Connell, Sean Pender is also being honored, sure, myself and others. What we were talking about for more than a year is that if the British government follow through, if they're going to just abolish any real way to get legacy justice, if they're going to completely bin the Stormont House agreement on legacy justice, then it's time that the Irish government, with so many people killed, including the Dublin Monaghan bombings, including so many others, that it hold Britain to account. It simply do what I would do as a lawyer, what anyone would do, go back to the European court. They did it in the early 70s with the torture of internees and they took Britain to the European Court. Britain was found guilty, first of torture, that it was modified to inhuman treatment of political prisoners. It's time to go back. It's time for them to say if they're not going to keep their obligations under the European Convention on Human Rights, which Britain is still a party to, it's not affected by Brexit, if they're not going to keep its agreement with the Stormont House Agreement, if they're not going to give simply that ways to get justice under the British system that everybody's entitled to, then it's time for breaching that agreement to take them to the Europe, back to the European Court. And Fergus O'Dowd, he's head of a TD from County Louth, he's head of the Good for Care, the Good Friday Committee. They met with us in Washington. They've twice written to the Attorney General to do that. Irish politicians have done that. We've gotten a lot of support from congressmen and people in the administration and like Senator Schumer to push the Irish government on that, to call for legacy justice and to push that. We've got to let Britain know that it's not simply a case that agreements last only so long as you think it benefits them. That the rights of the Irish, the true legacy justice, that those are going to exist, that they have to be respected and honored. You have to do what you promised to do, what British law says you have to do, what the European Convention on Human Rights says you have to do. And if they won't do, if they won't keep their agreements, if they won't give justice, if they won't give the truth to people they've been fighting for so many years, then let's show them up at the European Court of Human Rights that Britain has failed in its international obligations. Let's highlight that. So that's the approach that we're asking for. Let's let Britain know that this is something, if you do this, you break that agreement, there are going to be important legal consequences. You'll have to face the justices in Europe, in the European Court. And I think that's something that may make the British think again about what they're planning to do. And if not, instead of taking years for every individual to bring their case, to go through every British court, before you get to the European Court on Human Rights, the Irish government could bring that case right away, an intergovernmental case. They could represent those people. They could spare them years and expense of fighting for justice and through the British courts. They could put pressure on the British to stand up for the rights of Irish citizens whose family members and friends have been murdered by the forces of the Crown.
You know, our guest, Martin Galvin, friends, has been involved for the last 40 years and even maybe longer. I think right after your, you know, your first confirmation or your first communion, you got involved in the cause of justice and injustice. But, you know, before we would get, and with, let's hope that the Ancient Order of Hibernians will, in fact, be able to push the items which you have just mentioned, push it through. Where are we in the United States? After all, you know, it's now 2 years, midterm elections notwithstanding, but we have an administration, the current administration, that says, you mess with the Good Friday Belfast Agreement, and you can kiss goodbye to, you know, to the US-UK trade agreement. Shouldn't that have had a tremendous impact by now?
Adrian, I think it has. You know, right now, people, the president was actually thinking about and is planning or hoping to go to Ireland next year for the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement.
Yeah.
And the attitude of the DUP is to just simply say, well, we're not going back to Stormont. The whole thing will be wrecked unless we get our way on the protocol. And again, it just seems they can thumb their nose at the United States, at the European Union, at Ireland, at the Irish government. And if the British government is going to foster that and allow them to do that, again, it shows you why British rule has never worked for the benefit of the Irish people. It's only worked for the benefit of people, well, English people, really. I wouldn't even say the British people, because I don't believe the Scottish people or the Welsh people would benefit. It's just simply within England itself that Westminster Works Court. So that's what's happening. Our government is pushing. They have told them over and over again about a trade agreement may be jeopardized. British may be hoping a different administration or a different Congress may do something differently. But we're hopeful. We've already had support in the last week or two from Congressman Mike Kelly, Republican, saying that it's going to be the same. Republicans in Congress feel this just as strongly about the Democrats when it comes to this these important Irish issues. We're counting on that. We're working to keep that pressure going.
Now, I know that you had mentioned there Sean Pender, who is the national vice president of the Ancient Order of Hibernians. And just to, I think we all, or most of us at least, know what a key figure and a great force Sean is. But I think that most people who perhaps would be planning to go to your dinner 2 weeks from tomorrow at Rory Dolan's would be indeed more than happy that a great friend for over 30 years of Ireland, of Irish justice, was not a Democrat, but a Republican, Peter King, who stuck his neck out over and over and over again in his own constituency because he would not let go the issue of Northern Ireland and the injustice of the situation.
Adrian, again, I'm glad you brought that up. Peter King, when he was a Nassau County Controller, and when there were people within his own party, like Ronald Reagan and George Bush, who were not too happy with, he would be happy on Peter with just about every issue, but were not too happy when he was standing with pickets at Irish Northern Aid or with the Ancient Order of Hibernians, supporting the hunger strikers, supporting political prisoners, supporting the Irish justice, supporting visas for Cherry Adams. And Peter King stood there. It wasn't for his own personal political benefit, but he did it because he thought it was the right thing to do. He cared deeply about Ireland, and he took risks for it. It jeopardized his political career or injured his took chances on injuring his political career. And we're very happy, even though now he's a former member of Congress, we want him to know that the Irish community doesn't forget him. It's not going to forget him. And that's why we're honoring him with the Spirit of 1916 Award, along with Sean Bender, along with Father Fitzgerald, along with Patricia McGahee, and honoring him alongside Senator Schumer.
Martin, as usual, we are delighted indeed to have you as a guest, because anybody who would imagine that there is one person above all others who tells it like it is, that's your good self. And before, though, we wrap this up, I wanted to really want to, again, let you know how much we appreciate honoring our own Sagart, our own parish priest, the, Father Brendan Fitzgerald, who is indeed he's a saint in the making, a pastor of St. Barnabas Church, and now New York State AOH chaplain. A guy who... go ahead.
So he does so much. I'm in St. Barnabas, so I see him, how much he does, how much the Irish community relies on whenever it's a family member who's ill. I know when my father passed away, how grateful I was to have him say prayers, and in Irish, actually, just as a special request. Just that sort of thing. And there's so many families. He does so much for the Irish community, including having the Gaelic Mass for us. That goes, again, on AOH YouTube. I don't know how he accomplishes all the things that he accomplishes within our parish. I just hate to think of St. Barnabas without him. He does such a great job. And again, proud to honor him also.
Now, with Patricia, again, as somebody, a lifetime activist, but she is representing the American wives of Irish political deportees. Good to remind, you know, all of us and perhaps new, you know, members of the AOH, and in fact, young people who are, you know, gathering bits and pieces of Irish American history and its involvement in Northern Ireland. Tell us about the organization Wives of the Deportees.
Adrian, what happened was just at the time that America was starting its bicentennial, 1976, the British were trying to get political prisoners like Bobby Sands and others wear a criminal uniform. They said anybody there, their right to be in Ireland, and anybody who's against them is a criminal. They always did that. They did that when they shot down the leaders in 1916. They did that with George Washington. He gave the famous speech saying, had I failed, the scaffold would have been my doom. And they did it again in the north of Ireland. And what happened was when they failed there, when people came out for Bobby Sands and the other hunger strikers, when America overwhelmingly stood behind the hunger strikers and rejected the idea that they were criminals, the British looked around and said, we got to get America on board. Let's go to deportation court. So they saw a number of men, Gabe McGehee, Brian Pearson, Robbie McElhane, Matt Morrison, Kevin Crossan, Noel Gaynor, and others who were former political prisoners. They'd come to the United States. They were living here. They were respected members of our community. They were married. They had American citizen children. And they said, let's have the American government deport them as criminals. And that way we'll label them and we'll show that once again, Britain is always right and anybody who resists them is wrong and a criminal. And the wives, these families, they just didn't want to make a choice between their country and losing their husbands and fathers of the family. That was the choice that the British were giving them. And we had people leadership. I remember we used to meet at O'Dwyer and Bernstein with them. And we had Paul O'Dwyer and Frank Durkin and others, the AOA, Peter King. Then a Congressman Schumer was involved in the campaign. We got behind them and we were able to put pressure and keep putting pressure, whether it's packing courtrooms, whether it was large rallies on the streets where people had signs, don't support my daddy, whether it was there was actually a congressional hearing that they got. It was actually a CBS did a documentary. And as a result, at the end of that, in 1997, 25 years ago, the Clinton administration halted these deportations. They said that those men could live here openly. They promised them work authorization. They promised them travel permission to go home occasionally. And they said the door would be open for others. And it should have been open for people like Malachy McAllister, should be open for people like Patsy Donnelly today. Those deportations were halted. The women who led that campaign and inspired everybody, they've never really been honored to the extent that they should. So that's why we picked one of them, Patricia McGahee. She's going to represent all the wives of the deportees. Many of them will be in the hall. And that day, and we want to remember that victory, but we want to remember the promises that were yet to be kept, the people who didn't benefit from that and should have, and the fact that some of those people, they still get detained, they still get refused travel permission occasionally, they still get work authorizations held back for long periods of time with very bad economic consequences. So we want to remember all of those things, we want to remember them in the hall when we have people like Senator Schumer. I know there'll be other congressmen represented there as well. Want to make sure to remind people that this was an important victory. Let's consolidate that victory and get everything that was promised at that time. And remember people too, as I said, like Frank Durkin, like Paul O'Dwyer, like so many others who were leaders in that campaign.
Martin Galvin, there's a note I want to leave you on because I think maybe some people, having listened to you this morning, might want to get up and start going to the dance next week, or in 2 weeks' time. But, you know, last year and in other years. You can't get in if you don't have a ticket, and you won't get a ticket unless you have room. So, you know, wink is as good as a nod now to blind horse. So there is, let's make this easy for people who would like to, you know, get their tickets now, be assured of a place on Sunday, November 20th at Rory Dolan's.
Adrian, I'm glad you mentioned, I know last year I did this interview and you said, could you get Anya Sheridan in, for example, say, and I said, yeah, but not you, Adrian, and she didn't want to come without you, so I'm telling everybody, if you want to come to the dinner, we've got great honorees, it is going to be, we expect it to be a full house, call one of these numbers, Bob Nolan, 347-880-1403, that's 347-880-1403, or Jack McCarrick, 718-597-6327, 718-597-6327. There'll be ads this week in both the Irish Echo and the Irish Voice. We advertise in both of the leading Irish American newspapers. So if you don't catch the number now from listening to me on Adrian's show, you can pick it up when you get those newspapers on Wednesday. But please call. You need to get a ticket. If you want to get a journal ad congratulating them, now's the time to do it.
Right. And the details, according to that Anya Sheridan one, you give her much more credit, by the way, for not going without me, because if you'd give her the same deal this year, you know, it's been a rough year all around. But on our Facebook page, friends at Irish Radio, you just go on to Facebook, Adrian Flannelly, which most people wouldn't want to tackle even the spelling there, or Facebook Irish Radio, and that will be as of today. Again, great work, Martin, and hopefully one of these days, you know, you'll be back on the air talking about progress, significant progress, because up to now, honestly, you know, it's one step forward and one back or even two back, and it is just basically unfair. And yes, America has a place in supporting all the people of Ireland and Northern Ireland. Okay?
Adrian, the people over there tell me all the time that the British don't care about the people in the north of Ireland. They don't listen to them, but they pay attention to the United States. And that's why we're so important, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, the other Irish American organizations, and programs like yours for getting the word out. They know that America is involved. We're on top of these issues. We have people like Senator Schumer and Peter King and others to fight for us in Congress. And we have that, again, because of the people on the ground. We'll listen to shows like yours. We'll read the Irish American papers and know the issues and are involved in the issues. And that's what gives the AOH, that's what gives all of us our strength.
Thank you again, friends. Martin Galvin, Bronx Ancient Order of Hibernians, Division 5. And again, just to let you know, he is a highly respected, prominent criminal defense attorney. And listening to Martin there, you know, he obviously is not known for being meek and mealy-mouthed. Okay, God bless you.
Adrian, thank you very much.
Okay,
thanks. As always.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.